Welcome to the Social Podcast, where no discussion or debate is off limits.
Welcome to the Social, everyone. So Melissa and Cynthia are away, but we have journalist Andrea Bain back with us today. Thank you very much. Please welcome comedian Atsuko Okatsuka.
You got that.
We're delighted to have you here with us today. Let's dive in. Because it turns out that Brad Pitt has become somewhat of a beauty buff. The actor recently announced his own skincare line called Le Domaine and told Vogue magazine that the products are made up of genderless skincare essentials. So in the interview, he gushes over his ex-wife, Paltrow. You may remember her, the founder of the beauty empire Goop, saying that he loves what she's done with her own brand. He even says that she was the first person to get him to wash his face twice a day. Okay, Brad. Okay. So, Atsuko, what's your...
thinking?
What's your reaction? That was the first person. I don't blame you for being stuck
on that. Is
that
why they broke up? Well... my gosh, as a grown person, you know what I mean? She was the first person. You should have stayed. And now he's back, with a skincare line. Genderless. I don't care as long as it's like whoever it's for, how it works, is it affordable?
Oh, I like that.
Right? Yeah.
You feel like maybe things have gone off the tracks with prices on that?
Oh, if it's really pricey.
It's not drugstore prices, I know.
Oh, then it's like, then you keep it, Brad.
Yeah. Thank you.
Keep it, Brad. Well, you know what I mean? Like, that's all I care about. Relatability. Well, okay, what's not drugstore prices?
I think I saw something like 80 euro for a...
Oh. Okay. Oh, that's expensive.
That is expensive.
Okay, all right. And then for did you say for a...
I mean, it's like these designer skincare brands, they don't come like with the big bottle and the pump.
The tub.
Which
is the way
shower.
We like it. It's like you use your pinky nail. You're supposed to do a little dollop and then just under the eye. Right.
And there goes $30 every time you put it on.
Exactly. After you've used it, there goes your rent for the whole month. And so that's what I'm worried about. You know what I mean? And then what? Who do you look like after? What's the guarantee?
Maybe Brad Pitt? I don't know. Like would you? I mean, if they could bottle that, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Listen, I'm not a huge fan of celebrity-endorsed skincare products, mainly because, well, what do you know about skincare? You sing, you dance, and now all of a sudden you're supposed to tell me how I'm supposed to clear up my skin and look younger? I also don't believe that they're completely transparent with us about what they do to look that good. You can't convince me, Rihanna and J-Lo and Kylie, that you don't go to some expensive spa and get all the snail and whatever they do to their faces, you know, and injectables, you leaving that stuff out. You cannot convince me that you're using your own products and that's why you look that good. So that's my first issue. But there are two things that Brad did that I really didn't like. First of all, he talked about Gwyneth a lot and the success of Goop, which is, to me, it's like, okay, so you're saying that you want to make money. You're looking at Gwyneth like, oh, you made all this money with Goop. That was really good. I want to do that, which is the reason we don't trust them, right? And then the second thing, he was like, he talked about the fact that celebrities back in the day, it was not cool to align yourself with a brand because it wasn't really cool. And now because of the hip hop guys, which is translation.
That's what he said.
He said that, which is translation. When I hear that, I hear black people. Right? So now we made it cool. So now he's doing it. And I think he missed a huge opportunity. What people don't know is Brad used to have a lot of acne on his face. I used to have a lot of acne as well. I went on two very strong medications, and he had missed an opportunity to market this product. Like, look, I had bad acne, and I was an A-list guy who was on the big screen. I had to clear up my face. This is what I did. Here are the steps of what I did to look good. Now buy it. That I would have bought. This?
Yeah.
This talking about Gwyneth's success? What is this? What is this?
And the hip-hop guys.
And the hip-hop people?
He's like, you know, it's like hip-hop.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. So
it's cool now because, you know, hip-hop like Gwyneth. You know?
When we think hip-hop, we always think Gwyneth. Right?
That sentence doesn't go well together. Also, like, you shouldn't have admitted. It's hard to, you know, if you want an inspiration, right? Someone who's like, look at my skincare. You don't want a person who just admitted they didn't know how to put lotion on.
Thank you.
Right? That's a really good point.
I didn't know till I was 35. You know,
to wash my face.
To wash my face.
Yeah.
Even though I had bad acne for a very long time and got it cleared up.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Skip that part. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he is like Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And lots of people see him as the quintessential movie star for many years. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the, like, that model of movie star where all American, very attractive, tanned. I understand why he would be chosen or he would choose himself to say, do you want to look like me? Here, let me show you. Mm. The problem is he isn't showing us. Like, you listed all those people. I understand. Oh, it's a cash grab. Yep. Like, Rihanna. J-Lo, even Gwyneth Paltrow.
Kylie.
But at the very least, they're doing more than the bare minimum. I see these people hustling on YouTube and on Instagram all the time. True. They're using their products. They're lathering their face. Right, they're touching it. They're saying, I use it morning and night. Mm-hmm. He, in this interview with Vogue to promote this product, they said to him, okay, are we going to get a demonstration? He's like, no, I'm not doing that. Mm. Okay, so you won't even work. You won't even work to get my money, right?
Yeah.
Later on, they're like, okay, well, share your skincare regimen with us. He doesn't answer the question. So I'm like, you won't even pretend to want to work very hard to hustle me out of my money.
Yeah.
Why do I want to give you all that money? Not drugstore prices, but all that money. Like, I at least want you to pretend to care about me and to want to show me what you're doing. So he's lazy, greedy, lazy, greedy, and a liar. Because, you know, we're not, we don't know what products you're, why am I going to put my check into you, like into your bank account?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's so true.
I think we've taken care of that, but, you know, good luck with Le Domaine, Brad Pitt. I'm sure you need the money.
Yeah.
So, next, who do you think was funnier in their relationship, Brad or Gwyneth?
It's like a tough quest. Like, neither one. Well, there's a new study.
There's a new study that surveyed 150 couples to determine the role that humor plays in their relationship, and the results, they brought a lot of LOLs. And found that men tend to be happier in relationships when they think that they're the funnier one. Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do we think of this? Does it matter to you if you are funnier than your partner?
Well, you know what's so funny? I have a very good friend. His name is Alonzo Bowden. He's a comedian. He lives in LA. And you know what he told me? Yeah, he's hilarious. Mm-hmm. He told me straight up, he was like, I could never date a woman who was funnier than me. And I was like, really? Oh. He said he refuses. It doesn't matter. He's never going to date someone funnier than him. And this article just made me think about, there's like a dog whistle thing that happens with single women. You know, when you read a lot of the relationship books and listen to the podcasts, they're always telling women, if you want a man, what you need to do is don't be as strong. You know, don't open the jar. Let him open the jar.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you make more money, don't pay for dinner. Let him pay for dinner. And this article saying that men are happier when they think that they're funnier. So that means if I'm hilarious, I gotta, again,
bring
dim my light so that you can be okay. And the question I have, are we trying to date a man or are we raising a little boy? Because if you're a man, you should be fine that I'm funnier than you, right? I don't want to have to dim my light.
We figured it out.
Well, you're a professional comedian.
Yeah. Like,
So I was going to say, maybe it's a little different because Alonzo is a comedian, so he's kind of screwed if, you know.
Yeah.
Me too. If my partner is funnier and everyone in interviews is saying, like, God, Atsuko's husband, he's so funny. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We went to see her show, but after the show, we talked to her husband and he
killed it.
Man, like, I asked for his signature. You know what I mean?
So
As comedians, we are like, you know, we hope to be the funnier one. Or else it's, you know, that's, there goes our career, right?
Yeah, true.
But is humor in a partner important for you?
Oh, 100%, yeah. But, you know, it's not like, you know, who's funny. My husband's very funny. He's very witty. And, like, I get to run my jokes by him. So I have this very lucky thing, you know. Mm-hmm. But the men being happier because of course they are. They're happier if they think they're richer, too. And they think they're hotter than they are. You know, it's about, like, it's about maybe manipulating him to think that he's these things, you know, like, oh my God, honey, that is so funny.
Huh? That's a lot of work.
Yeah. No,
it's and it's also
work.
Not authentic. You're not being your true self.
Did they interview the women?
That's what I'm curious about, if the reverse is true, because humor's really important in my relationship. But I wonder if it's because we both think we're the funnier one. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Totally.
It's not just my partner's argument. But who knows? Like, that is, it's important.
Is it a competition?
It's never a competition, I think, because we both already know that we've won. You know?
Yeah. Oh, okay, got it.
And leaving that be. Totally. Yeah.
Would you wear your club clothes to a corporate job?
No!
Okay, but according to Gen Z, some of them, it's totally fine. Take a listen.
I swear, if I had a corporate job, this is how I would go dress to work. Like, who's gonna stop me?
Who's gonna stop you? That's an important question.
I don't know. Who is gonna stop you?
We're opting for short hemlines and sheer tops at their 9-to-5 jobs. So, does this type of clothing belong in the office? What do you think?
You know, I was just watching the video and thinking, my gosh, my top is really high up.
Daytime TV?
Yeah. And I was like,
we need to tuck in your mic wire.
Oh, yeah, right. There you go. That's the issue. No, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know what, depends on the job, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? Is it WeWork? You know? Yeah, like, are you there? Are you, you know, you made your own business? Do you own, is it an Etsy store? That's your own thing?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
True. Yeah.
I mean, how high would you go here?
One of our colleagues, Melissa, isn't here today, but she tests the limits every day. Yeah.
And we love her for it, actually.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the deal. God bless this girl. Who's going to stop me? I'll tell you who's going to stop you. You're going to stop you from getting any promotions, being taken seriously, anybody listening to you. And in the corporate world, there's a name for this. It's the CLM, Career Limiting Move. You want to show up? It's your choice. If you want to show up half naked and have your left areola out and you think that you're also going to be taken seriously in that promotion that's coming up, that they're going to really look to you, go for it, sweetheart, because there are women who are still fighting. We are still, as women, fighting in the workplace to be paid equally, to be treated well, and that's with everything covered up. So if you think you're going to come with your outfit, and you're, who's gonna stop me? Go for it. And, you know, I understand, like, we can push the limits. I'm a news anchor. Like, I have to wear a certain conservative look that I have to have, but I get to push the limits a little bit. So I wish that it wasn't so, like, who's gonna stop me? And more like, we've come a long way and we can do things that women 30 years couldn't do. Right. And I also think about women like this. There's a woman by the name of Bozama St. John. She's a CMO. She's a marketing genius. And I also thought about Serena Williams, two women who have a dress code in different types of conservative workplaces, right? Where they have pushed the limits. But look at these two women, right? Mm-hmm. Bozama will go to do a keynote speech in that outfit. But here's the key. She is at the top of her game. She is the smartest person. She has proven herself with success at Apple Music, Uber. There's a company that she's done really well at. And of course, Serena, you have 23 Grand Slams. You can wear whatever you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. This idea that you're just showing up in whatever you want to wear, go for it. You're going to put the spoke in your own wheel.
I totally agree. Showing up in whatever you want to wear, wearing like club clothes to the office, that's tells you something. Every time we're wearing something, it's telling everyone else something. And it's saying, you know what? I'm not going to follow social conventions. Good for you. But you know what? I sometimes like social conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about, like, it takes out a lot of stress of a situation. Heaven forbid you have a funeral to go to. What am I going to wear? Probably something black rather than a bikini. I'm going grocery shopping. What am I going to wear? I'm not going to put on the ball gown today, even though I don't have one yet. I'm going to probably wear t-shirts and jeans. But to your point, I do think social conventions have the potential to have a huge amount of impact. For example, the women you just mentioned, like women, black women who can wear their hair curly rather than straightening it. That has a huge impact and a huge influence on people. Or if we think about women in Iran right now who are taking off their headscarves, that not only has a huge impact, that is potentially putting their lives on the line. Mm-hmm. But wearing office attire, wearing club attire to the office, I don't know if it has the impact they think it does. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I think it's just where you want to focus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, do you want to, you know, is it a job where, like, my words matter? You know, I think about that when I do stand-up, you know? Okay, if I'm going to wear an outfit that's, like, too flashy, maybe they're looking at the things dangling from my clothes, you know?
No, it's true.
Right? Yeah. So then, you know, then there goes my words, right?
Yep.
I'm not going to wear earrings that'll hit my face while I'm talking, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's why I kind of keep this haircut.
Yeah.
You know, so that it just kind of stays, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I agree that right now we live in a time where that's going to happen, that, you know, young women are going to be judged. They're going to get in their own way. They're going to limit themselves because of these social conventions. But there are social conventions that have fallen because they don't make sense anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if we're talking about clothing, there was a time when women weren't allowed to wear pants. And if you talk to the people from that era, they were entrenched in their views about why women shouldn't wear pants. Mm-hmm. And we don't understand that anymore.
No.
I mean, we cannot even put ourselves in that mindset, right?
Absolutely.
And so this generation, you know, for them, they seem to say that I can dress how I want and it doesn't mean I can't do the job.
Right.
I'm still capable. I can still prove that I'm capable. Now, we may be skeptical because we're of a generation where we've had to go through so much. We know how the world works. We know how women are treated at work. But I wonder if, like, club wear is what pants were 100 years ago.
Here's
or
the deal.
There's another generation.
I'll give you an example. So we just watched 10 days of the Queen's funeral and the processions.
Yes.
I was covering it along with a lot of other great journalists at CTV.
Yes.
Does anybody want to see me and my cleavage while I'm talking about the Queen? Does anybody want to see that? Does anybody want to see me struggling with a tight skirt as I'm talking to a historian about the importance of this woman and her family and watching her children stand around her coffin? Does anybody want to see me in my club gear then?
No. There's a time and place for everything.
Well, and I just think, why your club gear? Why not your relaxed gear? Why specifically the gear you put on to, like, tantalize a man
at
a club?
She's going to work. You're comparing work to a funeral.
But my work is covering a funeral.
Right, but that is the content, right? That's the content. You were covering a funeral. What she's saying here is, I'm going to work. I'm not going to a funeral. I'm going to a place where I want to be confident. I want to be in my best position, and I want to be celebrating my abilities. We don't do that at a funeral. A social convention is that when you go to a funeral, the main thing is to mourn. Mm-hmm. So you pick the outfit where you feel like mourning, which is not club wear. But the reality is,
as a news anchor, the news changes by the minute. So it could be a funeral one minute, then it could be a car crash, and it can be a politician giving.
That's the reality.
It's not just an office job, if I'm going to an office job,
and the office job happens to be deciding on marketing campaigns for clients. Mm-hmm. Then I don't think that from one minute to the next, what happens when you meet the client?
Thank you. The client walks.
You're going to depend. It's going to depend on if your client runs a funeral home, then fine.
No,
then
not necessarily.
We have these social
if your client is about party venues, if your client is about a clothing store, or if your client is a floral store,
but if I'm the client, I'm going to spend $150,000 or more. Maybe it's millions of dollars. I'm going to invest, and this is the first person I meet at that company.
I might not, because the thing is, for me,
we're talking about the reality of corporate.
What am I missing? Like, what talent am I missing if I'm so short-sighted that I'm going to judge a woman?
But are we going to pretend we're not visual people?
If I'm hiring somebody. I think so. I think we're visual, but our visual impressions are determined by social convention and these, like, antiquated preconceptions that have been handed down
to
us.
Sure, but I still don't want to see your left areola at the meeting.
Ataka, do you have a major takeaway from this conversation?
I wish I had a job that covered funerals more. I did not know that I could do that. And I don't know what I would wear. You know, I would probably go lower. What if we change what club wear is? Maybe that's what we need to do.
Oh, I think that, yeah.
Maybe that's a whole
that
other
might even be harder.
Game.
That might even be a harder fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Subscribe to The Social Podcast so you don't miss a fiery debate. Until next time, socialites.